At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Detective Ray Hill, you also talked on direct about the removal of the sheetrock at... Fit shelter.
That's correct.
And you were present for the removal or one of the participants?
I was one of the participants.
Okay. And we also had Detective O'Reilly, I believe. Maybe.
He was present.
Okay. Was the one that was sort of underneath the sheetrock and trying to cut it?
Yes.
And so the sheetrock was cut from underneath.
Correct.
That if you're standing in the room, you're looking at it. And from underneath, it was cut around a very large section of sheetrock, right?
That's correct.
And as it's ready to come down, is that when the paper is laid so that it can be laid on something that will capture anything that falls?
Yeah, so specifically during that cutting of the drywall, we cut the drywall and the studs were the last things that were holding it together. So we made sure that we had a piece of paper ready to go once we cut those studs out and had a team ready to transfer the wall to the paper.
Okay. And so the team is also underneath the various positions under the drywall, right?
Correct.
And as the final studs are cut through,
yes,
people are gently bringing it down, and putting it on the paper.
Correct. It wasn't directly down. It was a little to the side from where we took it off. But yes, that was the motion.
Bringing it down and maybe moving it over.
Yes.
And bringing it down and putting it down, right?
Yes.
And then paper, it is sort of wrapped up in paper, right?
That's correct.
So that you've got the paper that is bigger than the sheetrock, right?
Yes.
And as it is put on that paper, the paper is folded over so that it's fully covered by the paper.
Yes, we actually had to use two sheets of paper due to the size of the piece that we obtained. One sheet was not enough, so we had to actually take two pieces to tape them together.
Meaning that you had a strip of paper and beside it another strip of paper?
That's correct. And I believe we taped it too beforehand before we actually wrapped it. like tape the, yes, correct.
Together, so it's all taped up, you come down, you move it, you put it on the ground, and then you step away and somebody moves, probably on both ends, moves that paper to cover it up, and moves the other side and covers it up so that it is not exposed to anything that you can help, right?
Correct.
And it was an arduous activity, right?
Yes.
But you all took care to preserve everything that you could.
Yes.
Right? And it may not have worked, but you were certainly trying to keep anything away from the top of that sheetrock, right?
It worked. We made sure that we did everything we could to make sure that nothing got into that sheetrock.
Okay. So it did work.
That's correct.
And people weren't sweating on the sheetrock.
I mean, I can't speak to that. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that could have happened. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And so certainly while the sheetrock is being cut from the ceiling, it's hot in there and y'all are sweating, right?
Yes.
And then as you're bringing it down, y'all, it's hot and y'all are sweating, right?
Yes.
And as it being put on the paper, y'all are hot and you're sweating, right?
I can't speak to everyone, but yes, that's a possibility.
Okay. And you don't want your sweat to go onto the sheetrock, right?
Right.
So that as you're putting it down, you're trying to keep your distance as well.
Yes.
And that's why you covered it up right away.
Yes.
Okay. If I may have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a moment,
Your Honor. Just make sure you're standing in front of a microphone, please.
So just two questions for you, Detective Rahill. The defense attorney just asked you about the second proffer with Kayla Montgomery, the June 23rd, 2022 proffer, and then that going into the March 16th, 2023 proffer where you brought those tools. My question for you is related to the defense attorney's question of what information you went armed to that March 16th, 2023 proffer with.
Mm-hmm.
So information from that second proffer in June 23rd of 22. During that June 23rd, 2022 proffer with Kayla Montgomery, did she talk about the defendant's statements about dismembering Harmony Montgomery?
Yes.
Okay. And she actually said, he told me he could put her in pieces.
That's correct.
And did she tell you the context of what he said that in? So did she say what he was doing right before he told her that?
I don't recall.
Did she? Well, let me show you what's. Do you think that seeing that proffer, the transcript from that proffer, would refresh your recollection?
Yes.
Yes, you may.
And you can scroll up or down. Just look up when you're done. Did that refresh your recollection?
Yes.
So, do you recall what she said that statement, when he said that statement in context? Or
yes.
What was he doing?
He was putting her in the back.
And she described steam coming out of the bathroom?
Yes.
Did she say he was working in the bathroom?
Yes.
On Harmony's body?
Yes.
Let me ask you this, Detective. Typically, in your experience as a detective with the Manchester Police Department, how would one go about dismembering a female corpse?
Objection.
Sustained.
No further questions.
Fully what she said was, I know he was going to try and, like, put her in pieces because he said he was going to try, but he said he couldn't, or something like that, right?
Yes.
No mention of power tools, right?
Correct.
An inability to actually do what she claimed he was saying.
Correct.
Thank you.
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right, you may step down. Please be careful of the wires.
So, Ms. Bedard, you can remain standing. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony that you'll provide this jury will be the truth and the whole truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you, ma'am. You can have a seat. And if you'd like some water, you can.
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable, Ms. Bedard. Can you start by telling this jury your name and spelling your last name for the record?
Yep, my name's Brittany, B-R-I-T-N-E-Y. My last name's Bedard, B-E-D-A-R-D.
And Ms. Bedard, what city and state do you live in?
I currently live in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Daytona Beach?
Yes.
Prior to that, where did you reside?
I lived in Auburn, New Hampshire.
And how long did you live in Auburn, New Hampshire?
I grew up there. I've spent the last 10 years minus 3 years in Florida, and
Ms. Bedard, what do you do for a living?
I currently I'm opening a business. I work for UPS as part-time, but I work from home.
And what's your highest level of what's the highest level of education you've
I've graduated college a few times.
Okay. Are you familiar with an individual named Travis Beach?
I am.
And how do you know Mr. Beach?
I dated him for a little while when I came back home 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah, I came back from Florida. I moved back up here three years ago, and then I left a year and a half ago.
So I want to turn your attention to early March of 2020. Mm-hmm. Back in early March of 2020, were you dating an individual named Travis Beach?
I was.
And back then, during early March of 2020, did you have an occasion to stay at the Connell Lodge here in town?
I did.
And do you remember the specific dates that you stayed at the Connell Lodge?
I don't know. I don't remember the exact dates.
Your Honor, may I approach them?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
I've just showed the defense what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 64. And I'm handing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 64 for identification. Can you take a look at that and mm-hmm. just let me know when you're done?
Yeah.
So having taken a look at that, do you recall with any specificity the date that you stated the Power Watch?
It says on the March 3rd to the 4th.
And does that refresh your recollection as to when you stayed there?
I remember staying there, but I mean, it doesn't, it says it, so I guess I was there.
Okay. When you say it says it, do you recognize any of the names on that list?
Yeah, my name is there. I remember getting the room. I stayed there quite a few times, so I...
Did you, in fact, get two rooms during that period?
I don't remember getting two rooms. I remember them having another room, but I don't remember getting both rooms.
I'm going to take this back from mm-hmm. you, Ms. Bavard. When you say you remember them having another room, when you say them, who are you referring to?
I remember Adam and Kayla. It was shortly after I met them that they were staying there, too. I don't recall that because it was so long ago, the whole situation on why their room was in my name, but
do you remember putting their room in your name?
Vaguely. Okay. I don't remember the situation surrounding it, but vaguely.
Okay. Ms. Bedard, let me ask you this. You mentioned someone named Adam. Who is that you're referring to?
Travis's friend.
You know Adam's last name?
Montgomery.
And you mentioned someone named Kayla. You know her last name?
Montgomery.
Back in early March of 2020, did you have an occasion to visit them at their home?
I did.
So, Ms. Bedard, I'm handing you what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 65, or 55, rather, and 56. Can you take a look at those? Each in turn, and just look up when you're done.
Yes, I remember those.
And you're smiling.
I do, because he was the cutest little boy ever.
Okay, let me ask you this. The images that are depicted on those exhibits, mm-hmm. what are they from?
They are from their apartment on Union Street.
Okay, and when you say their apartment?
Adam and Kayla's apartment.
Okay, and is there an individual depicted in the exhibit?
Yes, His name is Declan, I believe.
Declan.
I don't remember. Me and Travis were there for a short period of time, and I love little kids because it reminds me of my children. So I sat and played with them the whole time. So.
And do you see a phone in that photograph?
I do.
Do you recognize it?
It looks like one of my old phones.
Okay. The child that's depicted, did you take that photograph?
I did.
Okay. And was that a fair and accurate representation of that photo on your phone?
Yes.
And how about the second photo?
It is.
And that's referring to State's Exhibit 56 for the record. Also fair and accurate representation?
Yes.
Your Honor, the State moves to strike the ID. State's Exhibits 55 and 56 and Marcus Bolt.
Any objection?
No objection.
The ID is stricken. They are entered as full exhibits. They may be published to the jury.
So, Ms. Bedard, you said that you recall taking this photo, and I believe you said it was at their apartment on Union Street?
Yes.
Did that photo actually record the time and date?
I don't know if it recorded the time, but I know it had, okay, it must have, yeah.
So specifically referring to State's Exhibit 55, did the photo that you took record the specific time and date that the
yes,
photo
it did.
Was taken? And what was that?
It was Sunday, March 1st at 6:02 p.m.
March 1st?
Yes.
Okay. And referring to State's Exhibit 56, did that record the location that you took that photo from?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And what was the location?
It just says Union. It doesn't give the exact address. It just says Union Street.
Is there an intersection?
Yeah, Orange Street and Union Street.
I'm going to take those back from you. Thank you. So you mentioned you recalled being at their apartment briefly. Is mm-hmm. that correct? So I want to go back to this stay of yours at the Econo Lodge. You said mm-hmm. that you may have recalled putting a room in your name for them.
Vaguely.
So do you recall putting whose name the room in? I saw it. Do you recall the defendant, Adam Montgomery, also being at the Econo Lodge?
Yes.
During your stay. And during that period of time, your stay at the Econo Lodge, did you become aware of a U-Haul?
Rental? Yes.
And can you tell the jurors what your familiarity is with the U-Haul rental?
There was a U-Haul that was rented in someone's name, but and I don't remember exactly why. They needed a card on file. I'm assuming, because they asked if I could use my card to pay for it.
And when you say they asked, who?
It was Adam and the person, I don't remember what his name is, that they ended up putting the U-Haul's name in.
Okay, so you remember another individual being there?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't recall that individual's name?
No, I do not.
And it wasn't Travis Beach?
No, it was not.
So during that time when you were staying in the Econo Lodge, it sounds like you recall putting at least one of the rooms in your name, is that right?
Yes. Travis and I had gotten a room.
And during that period, did you lose your ID?
Yes. Which happens quite a bit, apparently. That was when I first moved back, and I had just gotten it, and it got stolen from me at the DMV.
So was that recovered, your...
No, it was not.
Did you put the U-Haul in your name? Do you recall?
No, I did not.
And I think you mentioned this other individual. You don't know their name.
I do not remember what his name was.
We have just a moment. No further questions.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And I represent Mr. Montgomery. I'm also just going to ask you a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. On direct, you were asked about the O'Connell Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And you were staying there with Travis.
Yep.
And Adam and Kate were staying in the separate room?
Yes. They were on the floor below us, I believe.
Before you checked into the O'Connell Lodge, you were at the Comfort Inn?
No, I've never stayed at the Comfort Inn. They have too high of a security deposit.
Okay, but you were at the Comfort Inn in an effort to try to check in there, right?
Yes, and that's when I didn't have the money for the deposit, and so we were leaving to go to another hotel.
While at the Comfort Inn, you saw Kayla in the parking lot?
Kayla and Adam, yes.
And with Kayla, you saw her with a CMC bag, correct?
I seen this stroller, and I remember, I don't know if it was exactly a CMC bag. I remember there being a tannish, whitish bag in between the seat of the two boys.
And Kayla was in possession of the stroller where the two boys were?
Yes.
Should I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Bedard, I'm handing you what has been marked States 52. Mm-hmm. Does this look at all familiar to you?
It does. I mean, from the top, it looked like it was, it had something in it. So, I mean, the bag was set down in between the stroller, so you could only see, like, the top part of it, but yes.
And again, this was a bag that you saw in Kayla's possession?
Yes.
Not
well, not, it was in her, it was in the stroller.
In the stroller?
And she was pushing the stroller.
In the stroller that Kayla was pushing?
Yes.
You did not see the bag in Adam's possession?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Bedard.
One question. You said you saw that stroller in the parking lot?
Yeah, they were out. I want to say they were outside when we walked outside to leave to go to the Econo Lodge.
Leaving
Kayla and Adam.
And the two boys.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
All right. You may step down. State may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Mr. Dennis Cloutier to the stand, please. Mr. Cloutier, sir, if you could please remain standing just for a brief moment. I'm going to have you raise your right hand and swear you in. You solemnly swear before this jury that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you, sir. Please feel free to have a seat.
All right, sir, is that your phone that just...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to turn it off, please.
Thank you. Yep.
Just turn your phone off,
yep.
And I'll ask you to remove your glasses, please.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Cloutier. As we're being recorded here today, would you please state your full name, spell both your first and your last name for the record, okay?
Dennis Timothy Cloutier, DennisCloutier.
And Mr. Cloutier, what town do you reside in?
Allstead, New Hampshire.
How long have you lived in New Hampshire?
Pretty much my whole life, but I moved away for a few years.
Okay. And what do you do for work?
I'm a maintenance man.
How long have you been doing maintenance?
25 years.
25 years. Let me ask you, are you familiar with an address called 644 Union Street?
Yes.
How are you familiar with that address? Could you tell the jury?
I contract for maintenance from the landlord, so I take care of it.
Okay. And when we talk about contract for maintenance, what kind of work do you do for him?
Paint the apartments when they're empty, fix things when they're broken.
Okay. Yeah. What about when you say fix things that you've broken, just thinking about all my contractors that I might have, do you do plumbing?
Yeah, basic.
Electrical?
Yeah, outlets and such, nothing more than that.
Okay. Are there sort of lights repair, so there's
yes.
a hole in the wall or something just, like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Locks?
Locks.
Screen and doors?
Screen and doors.
Okay, and what about flooring?
Flooring, yep.
Okay. And let me ask you, with regards to, I apologize. Also, do you set up an apartment for when a new tenant's going to come in, or do you clean out apartments when old tenants move out?
Both.
You do both?
Yes.
All right. And how long have you been doing that at 644 Union Street?
2007.
Okay.
That's when the landlord purchased it.
And you're still doing it to this day?
Yep, worked there this morning.
All right. I want to know, are you familiar with anybody by the name of Tara Hilbert at that address?
She doesn't live at that address, but she lives around the corner in another building that that same landlord owns.
Okay. And do you ever interact with her with regards to doing these setups, clean outs, painting, things like that?
Yeah, every now and then we need her to transfer keys or drop off paperwork for a new tenant. If they're going to look at an apartment and no one's around, she'll open it for us, that sort of thing.
Okay. If I could approach the witness.
Yes, you may.
What's been marked States Exhibit 136 and 137 for identification purposes only. Let me show you States 136 first. Do you recognize that photo?
I do.
All right, what do you recognize that to be a photo of?
The corner of Orange and Union Street.
Okay. And the building you told me about a moment ago, 644 Union Street, is that shown in that photo?
It is.
Is it labeled in that photo?
It is.
Okay. And what does the label look like, just to tell our jurors?
What, the red little icon?
A red icon, okay. And let me also show you States Exhibit 137, again, for identification purposes only. Do you recognize that image?
Same property.
Same property?
Correct.
I believe you said before that Ms. Hilbert was living in an adjacent property?
Correct. Okay. She lives in this building.
Okay. And by that, you're pointing to a building on
137 Orange Street.
137, okay.
Correct.
And with regards to these two particular photos, other than the fact that obviously they got a little red sticker down here on the bottom right and they were come off of Google, other than that, do they look to be accurate for the building that you service and that you
Correct.
Familiar with?
Yes.
Right. Your Honor, I'd ask the identification be stricken on stage 136 and 137, please.
No objection.
All right, the ID is stricken. They're entered as full exhibits.
So, Mr. Gluter, I want to ask you specifically about what the other individual Ms. Hilbert, and that is showing you States Exhibit 101. Do you recognize this person?
Adam Montgomery.
Have you interacted with Adam Montgomery before?
I have.
And was he, did you ever service a unit that he was staying in at 644 Union Street?
I did.
Well, when you met him, did you meet him in person or over the phone?
In person in his apartment.
And how many times would you say? More than once?
I think I was in there twice.
Twice, okay. Let me ask you, did you ever have a maintenance request for that particular property back on February 27th of 2020?
I did.
Okay. And when you have a maintenance request, what sort of paperwork gets generated for when you do service on a unit?
Well, the way it works is everything is pretty much a verbal agreement. And then when the job is performed, we hand the landlord a bill. And there's a record of that.
And so the record of that?
It's all invoices.
And that was going to be my question, the invoices.
Yes.
Could you describe to the jury what those invoices look like?
They're triple carbon. You know, the white, the pink, and the yellow.
So three different copies. So
yes.
Fill it out one time.
That's it.
The top,
yep.
And then
yep.
It makes the copies as we go down?
Correct.
Show you States Exhibit 70 for identification purposes only. Do you recognize that?
I do.
All right, what kind of document is that?
That's one of my invoices.
Okay. And when you said before you got the white and then the white, pink, green?
Yeah, white, no, pink, white, yellow, white, pink, and yellow.
White, pink, yellow, so this is the bottom copy.
Correct.
Okay. And for that particular invoice, you just told us a moment ago about doing some work on February 27th. Is that the invoice from that day?
It is.
Okay. And other than the fact that there's a red stick on it, any changes to that from when you remember turning that copy in?
Not at all.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the identification be stricken from States Exhibit 70, please.
An objection?
No objection.
All right, the ID is stricken. It's entered as a full exhibit. It may be published to the jury if you wish.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Cloutier, I want to ask you just a couple of quick questions about the job that you did on this day. Specifically from going through, and we'll have an opportunity look at this more later on.
What kind of work did you do for that? And I'm going to leave it there in case you have to refer to it, but what kind of work did you do at that point?
Oh, the guy called about his tub not draining. Mm-hmm. I knocked on his door. I met him in the kitchen, went around to the bathroom, noticed that the overflow plate where the drain lever is was missing a screw, turned sideways, and he said the drain did not drain.
Right.
So I removed the rest of it, went down to the truck, got a snake, snaked out the drain, discovered that he had dislodged the actual plunger that hooks to the lever, so that was stuck down in the drain. So I removed that completely, mm-hmm. went back to the truck, grabbed a brand new plate that doesn't have a lever hookup, and he just didn't get a lever.
Okay.
You see what I mean? And I just put a blank plate on that so it could at least overflow water. And that was that. So I snaked the drain and replaced the plate.
Sounds like it was, would you say that was a fairly easy repair that day?
Yeah, it was in and out of there in maybe 35 minutes.
Okay. While you were there, did you see anybody else inside the apartment?
Yes, I think the woman, Kayla.
Okay.
And some children were on the couch.
Okay. And the children, you said that they were on the couch. Let me ask you, the size of the bathroom in that particular apartment, how big are we talking, or how
small?
Really small. Really small.
Really small.
Okay.
Like a galley bathroom.
Okay. I see what you mean. So if I come through the door of the bathroom.
If someone's standing behind the door of the bathroom, it won't open.
Okay.
It's a small bathroom.
Right. The plate that you said was off.
It wasn't completely off. It was missing a screw. It was hanging sideways. It takes two screws. If you remove one, it's going to rotate over sideways.
So when it was rotated over sideways, could you see kind of down back into where that overflow drain was?
Yeah, that's the point. That's where you enter the snake when you snake out a bathtub. You remove the overflow plate.
Okay.
So.
And you're not the, about to say, when, excuse me, let me back up a little bit. Having one screw on an overflow plate, that's not a way that you would typically leave an apartment when you go to get it ready for a new tenant. Am I right in saying that?
No.
All right. With regards to when you're doing this repair, where is Adam Montgomery?
Right outside the bathroom door.
Okay. And are you guys talking at all during that time?
Not really. He's doing more pacing than talking. So.
More pacing?
Yeah, he was just kind of waiting for us to finish.
With regards to that particular apartment, I'm going to grab that invoice back for you, sir. After this time period, were you ever called to go back there to do other sort of maintenance repairs?
I think I had to go back one more time to fix some lights on the ceiling.
Lights on the ceiling?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that trip?
They were just popped off the ceiling. They were hanging by the wires.
Literally,
yeah,
off the ceiling.
Yeah, the wires weren't disconnected. I mean, a light isn't heavy. The lights we use are real light. They'll hang by the wires and still work, mm-hmm. but they were hanging by the wires, so put them back up.
Any idea how those lights got pulled down? Excuse me. I'll withdraw the question and I'll rephrase. With regards to those lights, did Adam Montgomery tell you how they got pulled down?
He said he took them down because he thought there were cameras in them.
With regards to other electrical work, did you do any other kind of electrical work on that unit while he was residing there?
I had to replace the thermostat.
You had to replace the thermostat?
Correct.
Okay. Any other electrical repairs that you know?
No, that's it.
And let me ask, when you...
Record that
after... on that particular apartment, when you do clean-outs, could you describe for us what you do in the apartment for a clean-out?
Throw everything in bags and bring it to the dump. Rip the carpets out and bring those to the dump.
Okay. Do you remember doing a clean out of this particular apartment after the Montgomerys left?
I do.
Permission to approach, Ron.
For the clean out that you said that you would rip different things out, just in general, correct?
Whatever's damaged and needs to be replaced.
Okay. What about appliances? Do you ever remove those?
I do.
Okay. And do you have any recollection whether you ever removed any appliances from that unit?
Yeah, we threw the fridge away.
Okay. All right. Mr. Cludi, those are all the questions I have for you. I appreciate your time today. I believe defense counsel may have a couple.
No questions, Your Honor.
All right, sir, you may step down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 2:45. Perfect timing for our mid-afternoon break. I remind you, don't talk about the case with each other or with anybody else. Don't do any independent research. We'll come back in about 15 minutes. All right? All rise for the jurors, please. Take a short break. You'll remember that when you want Mr. Middleton, we'll just need a little bit of extra time.
Your Honor, I think, you know what, why don't we just go ahead and do that now? We're going to take him out of order. We'll have him right now so we can get him done today. I want to make sure he's done on time.
Perfect. So we'll bring him up. Put him right there.
Okay.
And then we'll just. We'll bring him in once the jury is seated. Is that what everybody agrees to do?
Either way, Your Honor, that's fine with the state. No preference. Whatever's best for court staff. Pardon me. We would, because we will be handing him some documents. Thank you.
So tell. I don't want to make the decision for you. Tell me what you want to do. Do you want him on the stand beforehand, or do you want him to be brought in?
I think it's okay for him to be brought in, Your Honor. That's fine.
So let's bring him up, put him in there. As soon as we get the jury in, we'll bring him in. Okay? All right. All rise for the jurors. Be seated. State may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, the state calls Mr. Brendan Middleton to the stand, please.
All right.
And again, Your Honor, he will need to handle documents. I think we've already discussed this. Mr. Middleton.
Sir, if you could just remain standing for just a moment.
Absolutely.
Ms. Friedman, please raise your right hand, sir. You solemnly swear that you will tell this jury the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you, sir. Please feel free to have a seat.
Thank you.
There's some fresh water there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Middleton, as we're being recorded here today on the record, would you please state your first and last name and then spell both your first and last name for us?
Brendan Middleton, first name B-R-E-N-D-O-N, last name M-I-D-D-L-E-T-O-N.
And Mr. Middleton, how far did you go in school?
I got my GED.
Okay. And let me ask you, at this time, are you currently residing at the Hillsborough County House of Corrections?
Currently, yes.
Okay. And when's your release date, sir?
I just found out yesterday. I get out in July.
In July. Okay. I'd like to ask you, with regards to, that's where you're living now, but where were you living back in March of 2020?
The Welcome Home in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, New Hampshire. Is that on Concord Street?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And let me ask you, when you were also one other date. So we've talked about March of 2020. I want to jump forward a little bit in time and talk about July 6th of 2022. Where were you living then?
I believe I was homeless around that time.
Home at that point?
Either welcome home or homeless. I've lived there on and off a couple times.
Okay. I'd like to ask about a name, Brittany Bedard. Do you know who she is?
I know the name and kind of remember her face, yes. Okay.
And what about Travis Beach? Do you know that name?
I do.
Okay. And how do you know him?
I met Travis through work when I was doing tree work at Accurate Tree Service. And Brittany was eventually his girlfriend.
That when you met him, Brittany was his girlfriend? Or I'm sorry, you just said
later
eventually.
In time. I met Travis and he was single at first.
Okay. All right. Back in March 3rd of 2020, did you agree to rent a U-Haul van for Travis Beach?
Yes.
Okay. Could you go ahead and explain to us, why did you rent a van for him that day?
To my knowledge, Travis had contacted me. Him and Brittany were dating. They were looking to move furniture from her father's house. They didn't have a card or the money to do so. I've always been told and raised to help my friends and people I care for, so I agreed to do so. I met them at the South Willow U-Haul, or the gas station next to U-Haul. I went to U-Haul, rented the van for them, drove it over to the gas station, met them, and had left it in their hands.
All right. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions about that. The U-Haul, I believe you just said it's the one down on South Willow Street?
Correct.
Okay. And the gas station where you met them and gave them the U-Haul, where was that in relation to, like, the South Willow Street U-Haul?
I believe it's right next door to it.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Maybe there's a store in between, but to my knowledge and what I remember, it's right next to it.
And how did you end up paying for that U-Haul?
With my debit card.
Okay. When you rented it, did you have to fill out paperwork or check off some boxes?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And did you have to go through that before they would give you the keys to the van?
Yes.
All
right.
Did you have to sign for it at one point?
Yes.
Obviously, this was back in March of 2020, so I take it you don't have a copy of that paperwork with
no,
you.
No, sir, I do not.
If I could approach, please, Your Honor.
Yes, you may.
Mr. Middleton, I'm going to present you with a copy of what's been marked State's Exhibit 94 for identification purposes only. And I'll go ahead and take that out for you. If you can go ahead and just generally flip through. I'm going to turn the cover page, kind of look at page one of the substantive exhibit. Take a minute to look through that and each of the next pages. Take your time. And then I've got a couple of questions for you when you get done, okay?
Generally, that group of information, do you recognize that as a copy of your contract that you signed
yes.
for this rental?
Yes.
And when you look through there, did you see anything familiar, like your name or your license number or date of birth, something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
And with regards to the other details of the rental, are they all contained inside that document?
Correct.
Other than the fact that this does not have your hand signature on it, with that difference and the fact that the first page here has got a little red sticker, any other sort of changes from when you remember going through that same paperwork and those same fill-in-the-blank sections as when you see it here?
No, as far as to my knowledge, this is everything that I remember.
At this point, Your Honor, I'd ask for the identification to be stricken from State's Exhibit 94, please, and it to be a full exhibit and published to the jury.
No objection, Judge.
All right, the ID is stricken. It's entered as a full exhibit, and it may be published to the jury.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Minson, I'm going to let you hold on to this exhibit. No, you're good with it.
Okay.
What I want to do is ask you a couple different questions about some of the information that you filled in on this particular rental that's seen there in the documents and the ones that you signed for. And you can look either at what's in front of you, or if you want to turn around and look at the screen, if that's easier to see, let me know.
Okay. Right. Appreciate it.
Mr. Middleton, I'm going to go ahead and start with a little bit of this agreement that you signed for to get this particular U-Haul. And I want to go ahead and go to the very first page of the document if I can. And so that to let you know, and the jury is also going to be looking at the same pages that you're looking at. Exhibit 94, and we're going to look at the very first page. So at the very top, could you go ahead into the area where it says customer information and contact search and tell us a little bit, the name that's filled out. Is that your name, Brendan Middleton?
Yes, it is.
And did they spell it correctly?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And with regards to the address that was put down, the 60 Londonderry Road in Wyndham.
So that address was the address on my license at the time. I had gotten out of rehab a couple years before that, and didn't have my driver's license. My friend that lives at that address, very close friend of mine I've known since sixth grade, they had taken me in. Her mother had taken me to go and get my driver's license reinstated, okay. Things like that. That is the address I needed an address to use. That was the address I had at the time.
All
so
right.
That's what the address they used when I filled this out, because that is what was on my ID.
I understand. That makes sense. Question for you on this is, again, you said that your name was correct. I also want to ask with regards to the phone number on there, that's 603-401-9158. You see that there?
Yep.
Is that your phone number at the time?
One of many old numbers, correct.
Okay. And what about the date of birth, sir? Is that February 14th, 1996?
That is correct.
I wish you a one-day belated birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Going on with continuing to the document, I want to stay here on the very first page again of Exhibit 94, and I want to talk about the address of the rental and where you rented it to. Does it reflect the same place that you just told us a moment ago, the South Willow Street address where you got the rental?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And with regards to the time and the date, is the document accurate in that you got it on March 3rd of 2020 around 3:49 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
Moving on to staying at the lower part of, again, same page, first page of the exhibit, I want to talk to you a little bit about the information where it says dispatch. If you see there, what was the equipment number that was assigned to the van that you got?
BE4352W.
All right. And the specific time and date that it got sent out, what was that under dispatch date and time?
March 3rd, 2020 at 5:49 p.m.
Okay. And then finally, with regards to the pickup odometer, and of course, you're familiar with what an odometer is, right?
Correct.
All right. And what did the odometer, what was it recorded as reading when this van went to you?
5,092.
5,092 miles?
Yes, correct.
Okay. What I'd like to do now is kind of stay with that first one, and I want to ask you about the difference between when the time went out and when the time went in. So you can stay with the dispatch section, or if you'd like, you can also look at the screen. I want to talk about the return just underneath. So again, are we talking, what's the return date that this van went back to U-Haul?
March 4th at 1:47 p.m.
Okay, so that's the following day?
Correct.
All right, and what was the odometer reading when the van went back?
5,225.
Okay. And so if I could direct your attention to the screen just for a minute, I want to be able to put both the out time
and the back time, the out odometer and the back odometer up there for when this van got dispatched out. And just to confirm with the jury, this is the van that you rented. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So let's see, that's 19 hours, 57 minutes for a rental and what, approximately 5,225 minus 5,082, around 133 miles or so, give
correct.
Or take?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd like to now, if you would, go ahead and flip over to the second page of that exhibit. Again, staying with Exhibit 95. I'd like to talk a little bit about, there was an additional contact that you listed with U-Haul for the rental, and who was that contact?
Travis Beach.
And the phone number that was put there for Travis Beach, is that you gave that to U-Haul, or did Travis give that to U-Haul?
I believe that Travis gave him the okay to give his name and number for it.
Okay.
Again, I mean, it was a few years now, but to my knowledge, yes, I had the okay to do that, and he was willing to do that as well. So.
And I know you said before that, I believe you testified a few minutes ago, you met him at the gas station to get him the van.
Correct.
All right. Did he go into the U-Haul with you to do the rental?
He might have. I don't exactly remember. I just know that my vehicle was over at the gas station, and I did not leave it unattended, so I don't know if one of them came with me or none of them came with me. I can't exactly remember, but I know of me personally, yes, I went into the U-Haul.
Right. And when you say them, one of them came with you, who are you referring to?
Who's I want to say it might have been Travis, but then again, it could have been Brittany. I don't really remember.
So them is one of those two, Travis or Brittany?
Yes, correct.
All right. Thank you. Skipping now, if you could, to I'd like to go to the fourth page, if you would. You were the authorized driver on that, correct?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to go ahead and, if you could, go to the fourth page for us of the exhibit, and I've also got it up behind you. I would like to ask you a little bit about, again, the customer information. That's your name, again, being listed down there with 60 Londonderry Road of Wyndham. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And separate from that, also, again, the rental out time, is that reflected on there, that March 3rd, 2020?
Yes, sir.
All right. 5:49 p.m. is when it finally went out?
Correct.
All right. Moving a little bit lower, the equipment, where it's listed below where it says equipment, is that that same BE4352W that you read before that was the equipment number back on page one?
Yes.
All right. And what is the string of letters underneath that?
AJ78147-AZ.
Okay. And are you familiar with what the license plate was on that U-Haul?
No, I do not remember.
Okay. Well, I'd like to go ahead and bring you through a little bit farther into the document. First of all, there is your was it your signature block that would have been down at the bottom that you would have signed on page four?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to jump now to the next page of the document, page five. Again, it's got yourself listed as the customer. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. And then the phone number, again, I want to make sure that that's accurate. That's the phone number you gave before, 401-9158?
Yes, sir.
Skipping along to page six, if you would, please. I'm going to flip one more. And I want to talk about the rental date time for when it was returned. Do you see that at the top left-hand part of the screen? I'm sorry, the top left-hand part of the page?
Yes.
Where it says rental date and time and then return date and time?
Yeah.
Okay. And could you read for us what the rental date and time was, please?
March 3rd, 2020 at 5:49 p.m. And the return date was March 4th at 1:47 p.m.
And later on that page, if you look a little bit below there, again, down from there and slightly to the left, I wondered if you could go ahead and read us the equipment section where it says equipment before it goes MI out and MI in. What's the equipment information that was listed in your rental?
BE4352W.
Mm-hmm. And the next string of numbers and letters?
AJ78147AZ.
AJ78147AZ?
Correct.
Milton. I want to show you what's been marked State's Exhibit 100B for identification purposes only. With regards to that exhibit, do you see that same string of letters and numbers in there? They're the AJ78147AZ.
Yes, sir.
You see that also on this particular document?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Having seen this document, does that help refresh your recollection of what the license plate number was for that
van? Yes, now it does.
And what was it, sir?
AJ78147.
And the mileage back in where it says MIN, could you read again what that last mileage was, the reading from the odometer?
5,225 miles.
All right. Thank you. Finally, on the next page of the document in front of you, Exhibit 94 still, is that a promissory note?
I'm sorry?
Is that listed as what's called a promissory note at the top?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know what a promissory note is?
Not exactly. You'd have to kind of, I believe, from what I read, it's me promising the money that's owed.
Okay. And that's okay. If you don't know, I don't want you to guess. I just want to make sure that...
I do not fully understand that.
All right. That's all right. Thank you. With regards to that, though, on this particular document at the very top of the page, is your phone number listed again? And your name, your address of 60 Londonderry Road that you gave in Wyndham. So basically your name, your email, it's all of that listed again.
Yes, sir.
And does it also include your date of birth again?
It does.
And then finally, with regards to that same document, if you would look in the middle, sir, of, again, top of page 87, does it specifically list out what the license plate is of the vehicle that was rented?
Yes.
And what does it list?
AJ78147.
On this particular trip, when you rented the van, at that point, I believe you testified on direct that you then got it to Travis Beach at the gas station. Did you ever see that van again?
No, sir.
Are you the person that returned that van?
No, sir.
When you got him the van, did you get your car back? Or was your
yes.
car right there, I should say?
Yes, I had parked the van. I had gotten back into my car, and I left, and they left in the van.
And who did you see leave in the van, just to be clear for the jurors?
Travis and Brianna.
Brittany,
I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure we're accurate.
Yeah,
and was that Brittany Bedard who you were talking about before?
Yes, correct, Brittany Bedard.
Did you know Adam Montgomery back then?
I had never heard of his name at the time.
And what about Kayla Montgomery back then?
No, sir.
Back then, did you have any idea who they were?
Nope.
Did Travis ever talk about the name Adam Montgomery when he asked you to get this rental for him?
No, sir.
Did Brittany Bedard ever talk about an Adam Montgomery or Kayla Montgomery when you were interacting with her and Travis that day to get this rental?
No, sir.
Just a moment, please, Your Honor. I had asked you about where you lived at a couple different times, not only back in 2020, but also on July 2nd of 2022. On that day, do you recall Manchester police officers coming to talk with you?
I do.
And did you agree to talk with them?
I did.
The rental that we just went through, is that what you talked about with them on that day?
Yes, sir.
And at the end of the conversation, did they tell you why they were asking?
Yes, I had asked them...
Well, hold on. I'm not going to go into it. I just want to know whether or not you told them.
Yeah, I did.
They told you why they were asking.
Yes, they did.
Did you know Harmony Montgomery?
No, I did not. I mean, at the time, I had heard of what was going on, but I did not know her.
And so at that time, when you rented it, you had no idea what that van was going to be used for, did you?
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Milton. I don't have any further questions for you. I believe defense counsel may have one or two.
Appreciate it.
And good afternoon, Mr. Middleton. I do not have any questions.
Thank you.
You may sit down.
Appreciate it.
We'd ask for the witness to be excused, please, Your Honor.
Any objection? This witness is excused.
Thank you, please. appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
The state may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state's going to call Ms. Rose Smith, please.
Standing when you get to the witness stand. All right, thank you. Would you please raise your right hand, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you will give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Please feel free to have a seat. Ms. Smith, as we're being recorded here today, would you please state your full name and spell both your first name and your last name for the record?
Roseanne Smith, R-O-S-E-A-N-N-E-S-M-I-T-H.
Okay.
Most people call me Rose.
Okay. Ms. Smith, let me ask you with regards to, are you currently a New Hampshire resident?
I am.
And how long have you been living in New Hampshire?
Since about 1980.
1980. And how far did you go in school?
High school and then some college.
And with regards to work history, what are some of the different jobs you've had in your time?
I was a child care provider. I am currently a yoga teacher. And I drive for a non-emergency medical transportation company.
I'm going to move this just a little bit closer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
And there is some water there. If you'd like, feel free to pour yourself a fresh glass, if you would care to. Ms. Smith, you said you drive sometimes for a medical care transportation?
Non-emergency medical care transportation service, and that is fueled by Medicaid.
And what's the name of that service?
That's Pelican Transportation.
Do you still drive for them?
I do.
And how long have you been doing that?
For 5 years.
5 years, okay. For providing those sort of transportation services, could you just explain to the jury briefly what your day-to-day interaction kind of looks like with a different patient who needs transportation for medical services?
Yes, I provide service to recovering addicts going to methadone clinics, to kidney dialysis patients going for kidney dialysis. I bring people to Easter Seals. So I provide a service to people who cannot drive themselves.
Okay. Let me ask you, are you familiar with a person, and did you ever drive a person by the name of Kayla Montgomery?
I have.
And have you ever driven a person that by the name of Adam Montgomery?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you give them rides to, and I'm sorry, what kind of rides did you give them? What services did you drive them to?
I drove them primarily to the methadone clinics on Market Street.
On Market Street?
That's correct.
When you first started driving them for trips to the methadone clinics on Market Street, where were you picking them up generally in the city?
Excuse me. December 14th, 2019, I began picking them up from Dubuque Street from their parents' house.
And later on, did you ever pick them up from the vicinity of 644 Union Street?
Yes, I picked them up from Union Street as well.
With regards to the two of them, would you drive both of them at the same time, one at a time, the entire family with children? How would you drive them?
I would drive the entire family, and they would go in and dose, and I would sing Baby Shark with Declan and Seamus.
And those were the two children that they had with them?
That's correct.
Okay. And did they have a child with them named Harmony?
No, they did not.
I'd like to ask you specifically about one particular incident in 2020 with regards to a ride that you gave Kayla Montgomery. And what I'd like to ask you about this is with regards to a conversation you may or may not have had then with Adam Montgomery, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. You have to say yes or no. I'm sorry. It's how we record here.
Yes.
All right. Do you know the incident that I'm talking about?
I do believe I have. Okay.
So
2021, right around March and spring. Well, hindsight is 2020. It was around 2021 that the incident happened.
Well, then that's what I'd like to ask about. March of 2021. Thank you for correcting me. So in March of 2021, would you say, would you or would you not agree that this incident was not like other incident? This driving was not like other driving that you've done for them?
Absolutely. It was something I will never forget.
Okay.
And ma'am, I'm going to need you to raise your voice. It's a big room, and everybody here needs to be able to hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was not like other rides.
Okay. I'd like to ask you, when you first saw, did you see Kayla Montgomery on that day for this particular ride?
Yes, I did.
And without going into what Ms. Montgomery said, when you saw her face, how did she appear to you?
Her left eye was badly bruised and starting to swell shut.
Did you drive her that day down to the methadone clinic?
I drove both of them that day.
Okay. And with regards to, with regards to that drive, had you driven Ms. Montgomery the day before?
Yes, I had.
Did she have that black eye the day before?
No, she had not.
So on that day when you drove her down to the methadone clinic with the black eye, who else was in the car with you and Ms. Montgomery?
Adam.
Adam. And by that, you mean Adam Montgomery?
That's correct. Yes.
Smith, I'm going to show you what's been marked States Exhibit 101. Do you recognize who this person is?
Yes, that is Adam Montgomery.
And this is the other person that you drove in that car?
That's correct.
Were Declan and Seamus with them on this drive?
I do not believe so. I think Kayla said she left them with a neighbor.
Okay. I don't want to ask what Kayla said quite yet.
So okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, the children were not in the car with them that day.
Okay, so they were not with them that day.
When you saw Kayla with the black eye and you were driving down to the methadone clinic and back, how was she moving in her car? Could you describe physically what you saw in terms of her movements?
She didn't move very much, and she didn't say very much because Adam was in the car.
Okay. At some point in time, did you pull out your cell phone? And can you
She had asked to use.
Hold on just a minute, Ms. Smith. I'm sorry. I can't ask you what she said to you.
No.
So I just want to talk a little bit about what happened in the car.
Okay.
Physical movements, okay?
Yes.
And I apologize. That's on me. I should ask more clarifying question or a more specific question. With regards to the drive to the methadone clinic, did anything occur in the car on the drive down to the methadone clinic?
No.
Okay. And then for the drive from the methadone clinic on Market Street back to Union Street.
Yes.
Let me ask you, the event that I want to ask you about, did that occur when you were back at Union Street?
Yes.
Okay. When this event occurred, where was Kayla?
In the front seat beside me.
Okay. And where was Adam at this point?
Walking away from the car.
Okay. And with regards to there with Kayla, what, if anything, did you try to give Kayla?
I tried to give her my phone.
Okay. What did you believe she was going to do with the phone?
She said, well, I can't do what she said. No. She wanted to call for help.
Okay. And with regards to that, how was she physically at the time? I know you've described the black eye already. How was she physically when you went to try to give her the phone?
She was shaky.
Where was Adam when you tried to give her the phone?
He was walking back towards the car, but...
And so at that point, you said he was walking back towards the car?
I didn't see Adam there. I saw rage. I saw pure rage walking towards me.
What did Adam do as he... And were you in the driver's seat?
Yes.
And where was Kayla?
Beside me in the passenger seat.
And what did the defendant do?
He reached into the window of the car and twisted my phone out of my hand. and said, "You're not giving my wife that phone."
What did you say to him when he did that to you?
I looked at him and I said, "Adam, I love you. Please give me the phone back. I'm trying to help you guys."
What did he do then?
He then gave me the phone back and I was able to give it to Kayla.
Did he say anything else?
No.
When, so that he took, you begged him for the phone back.
I begged him for the phone back. I did report that.
Let me ask about that. You said you reported that.
To my boss, not the police. I reported that to my boss, and I told her that I didn't think I should be picking them up anymore, that I had been very frightened by what had happened. And I thereafter, I carried pepper spray.
Thereafter, you started carrying pepper spray because of this?
Yes.
We can just have a moment, please, Your Honor.
Sometimes we need a minute to confer. One thing I just want to clarify with you and to make sure that I understand accurately.
Attorney Agati, if you would use the microphone and keep
Sorry, Your Honor,
please.
I thought it was close
Thank
enough.
Thank you.
One question that I would like to go ahead and ask you and just trying to clarify is I know that you testified a moment ago that this occurred in your memory that this was back in March of 2021.
Yes.
And I want to ask you whether or not you are sure with regards to that particular date.
I am.
Okay. Do you feel that at all that, have you ever provided statements to others that it occurred in the spring of 2020 other than 2021?
I had to meditate on that. And I concurred with my boss. We have records.
You have records?
My boss at Pelican Transportation has records.
Okay, so let me just try to clarify. So when you say I had to meditate on that,
I asked my boss.
You asked your boss. Okay. All right. Meditation out loud. So you asked your boss about the date and when you asked to not have to drive them anymore. Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. And after doing that, you looked at some records?
Yes. My boss has all the records of when we pick them up and when we drop them off.
And after speaking with your boss, now your memory is that this was in 2021 rather than 2020.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Smith. I don't have any further questions. I believe defense counsel may have a few.
Okay.
And hi, Ms. Smith.
Hi.
Are you able to hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, yes.
I'm sorry about what happened. I can tell that it shook you.
Mm-hmm.
But this was March of 2021.
Yes.
No doubt in your mind about it.
That's correct.
When Adam took the phone, you told him that you loved him.
I did tell him that.
And he gave you the phone back.
He softened, and he gave me the phone back.
Thank you so much, Rose.
Okay. Thank you.
Just very briefly, Ms. Smith, you said that he softened.
He did.
Softened.
The anger in his face went away. But the rage that he had in his face and then that knee-jerk reaction that he had to it by snatching my phone out of my hand, it was very frightening.
I understand.
It was assault. Thank you. All right.
Nothing here, Judge.
You may step down.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That is going to conclude the testimony for today. It's about 10 of 4. You've been very, very attentive. We all very much appreciate that. I'll remind you, don't speak about the case to anybody, not each other or anybody else. Don't do any independent research. Don't drive by any locations. Don't look up any names or any people on social media. Please avoid all media having anything to do with this case. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8:45, for a 9 a.m. start. Thank you so much for your time and attention, ladies and gentlemen. All rise for the jurors, please.
All right, anything?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.